and we welcome you into Alabama Tradition. We're going to spend a few minutes here taking a couple of phone calls. We're going to give away Jimmy Buffett tickets. We're going to clean up the loose ends from the first part of the show. 4 hours. We will be with you. We've got Ben Jones. I sat down with Ben Jones earlier today. My heavens, man, that guy likes to have fun. And Ben Jones, CBS Sports College Football Analyst, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. So we'll talk with Ben Jones coming up. We'll have Chris Doering, the wide receiver at Florida, SEC Network ESPN guy. We'll talk with him. And Deuce McAllister, which is part of the Saints broadcast team and a former running back here with Ole Miss Day. Lane Kiffin earlier today kind of shook the house a little bit. Bryce Young with a big story and a lot of different things. We're going to talk about it as we travel onward. I'm going to give away these Jimmy Buffett tickets coming up in just a couple of minutes. But, Darlene, you've been waiting, and I do appreciate your patience. I hope all is well.
Oh, everything's fine. And I'm not
having a good day.
I'm having a great day. And it sounds like you are too.
Busy. Busy. Busy.
Well, that's what
very, very
out, right?
Busy. It is. It is. Before but it's fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know those things are, it's got to be hectic. And you're in a different environment. And that brings on the tension. But
well,
before
and,
I forget. I want
normally,
to say how
normally
much I
we
enjoy
have
Coach O.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed him as well.
I know you sounded like you were having fun with it. You can always tell when you're enjoying an interview.
Oh, really? Okay, it comes across? Okay.
It does.
Is it? Well, and I bet it comes across when it, when I'm distracted, too, because
well,
I was interviewing.
Sometimes that I will admit, I think. Oh, Ron's reading his text or Ron's reading an article.
Well, okay, when you do a solo show, you kind of have to get ready for the next. What happened earlier, and I don't mind telling you, Tony Barnhart was 15 minutes early. And then we had Jim Nagy was running a few minutes late because he was talking to some of the guys up at the Senior Bowl, which we understand, right? I mean, it's just it's part
it
of their
happens.
Responsibility too. And so both of them walked up. Both of them walked up at the same time. And it was like, hold on a minute. I'm trying to navigate that on the air. So a little transparency. You're like, hey, can you come back in 15? And he, you know, he walked up first, so we'll get him. And then, you know, so, you know, one of them's early, one of them's late. So I don't know which one you take. But anyway, it's sometimes you have to navigate that. Normally we have a person here that can help. But because of SEC restrictions and cutting back, like normally there's 1,100 members of the media here. 1,100 members of the media. And there's. They're not even like at a third of it this year.
Wow.
So. Wow. Yeah, that's
well,
what I say. But.
I was thinking right, a few minutes ago. It's Sunday afternoon this fall. Bryce Young and some of his buddies, football buddies, are hanging out. They've been playing cards or video games or whatever. And one of them says, I'm hungry. Well, they all agree. They go to one of the local establishments that I'm sure is one of your sponsors. They all eat a great big lunch. Waitress comes to the table and says, who gets the check? And all of the players turn around and look at Bryce. He gets the check.
No doubt. And he gets a tip, too.
Yeah. Well, give it to the $1 million man.
Hey. Yeah. I mean, well, no. I mean, everybody's going to be picking it. That's a great point because people will spend a lot of his money. And that's what you have to be careful for. I remember,
exactly.
You know, it was a tradition of taking out players. Quarterbacks used to take out the offensive linemen. Right? I mean, that was a big topic, right? Quarterbacks take out the offensive lineman. Tua stopped that. Tua stopped that. He's like, I asked him one time, I said, hey, man, what'd you buy the offensive lineman? He said, what are we serving in the cafeteria? I was like, okay. Ha, perfect.
Well,
yeah,
the truth of the matter is that they feed them so well now, you know, it's the football facility, that it's not like they're hurting if they eat there.
Sure. No. I mean, it's lobster and prime rib and steak and wings and, yeah, it's everything that you'd want. But
that just gets so old, doesn't it? I mean, I can't remember how many times people have forced lobster upon me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to, like, hold me down, force me. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do
really,
that.
Really. Yeah, and just a little bit more butter, please. Well, and another thing I was thinking about, and I know this will not make a couple of people very happy, but after listening to Lane Kiffin today, I think that Mr. Kiffin has matured a little.
Yes, absolutely. I wrote it down. And we don't have a chance. That's one thing. And I got to get to this break because I got a guest coming up. But I got about 2 minutes right here. But that is one thing that I wrote down as a note that we would get to in the coming days is how much Lane Kiffin sounds different. He's not at Florida Atlantic. He doesn't have to show, hey, look at me, look at me. Hey, I'm over here. Nope.
Just don't forget me.
Manage everything.
Don't forget me.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget. Hey, he's getting some attention. So,
well, Darlene, I'm just glad to hear it. And do you need to go?
Yes, because I got this guest coming up here in just a couple seconds.
You have a great rest of the day and tomorrow.
Hey, well, don't forget that it's Alabama Day. We're gonna have a celebration in here tomorrow.
Oh, it's gonna be a big old roll tide.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fans are not gonna be there. We're gonna have to roll tide it right here.
Well, you can do that, can't you?
So you better believe I can. You better believe I might lead the media in roll tide. Like, get them to go out and stand out there. But anyway, hey, Darlene, thank you so much. I gotta get out of here.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Deuce McAllister coming up in just a couple of seconds right here on Alabama Tradition. Biscuit Bruce. Biscuit Bruce, you've picked up the Jimmy Buffett tickets. Enjoy those. We'll be getting in touch with you. So Biscuit Bruce picking up those tickets. Deuce McAllister coming up. Chris Doring coming up. Man, we're going to have a lot of fun with these guys. I promise you, don't want to go anywhere. It's all presented by Adams Heating and Cooling right here, Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Football countdown clock is driven by Crawford Insurance, Tuscaloosa's low-cost auto insurer. Call 752-6489 for a free quote today.
Roll Tide! Roll Tide!
There are 46 days until Alabama football. You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you. All right, so we welcome you back to SEC Media Days presented by Adams Heating and Cooling. And right now we're talking with SEC legendary running back Deuce McAllister, talking about Johnsonville and talking about some good food. Deuce, it's good to see you, talking a little SEC college football.
I surely appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I would be remiss if I wouldn't have also introduced my partner here, John Cooper, who is the reigning Johnsonville pro as far as, I don't want to call it all of tailgating, but he is the tailgating pro for Johnsonville Sausage and some of the things that he will be doing. And I think I have to say that he is a Roll Tide fan as well. And so that definitely helps just some of the things that we've been able to talk about and discuss. And, you know, hey, look, you know, they're a champion, so it's hard to go against that.
Well, you know, I always like to say this, and I'm not judging, but when you go to a town, okay, if you're looking for food, you never find a skinny guy, okay? Like, if I'm going to town, I tell this all the time on my radio show when I talk about food places,
I want to go get a guy that's, you know, got a little
girth to him. He's got some girth to him. I know that he is eating good. Nothing against our slimmer buddies, but
right.
Hey, look, I want somebody that, you know, knows where a good spot is, maybe a little hole in the wall, and they can point us in the right direction.
So being a tailgate, and, you know, one of the things that I love about college football, John, is the atmosphere around college football. Talk about that. I mean, a professional tailgater, I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun to me. It sounds like a lot of caloric intake.
Absolutely. So just partnering with Johnsonville, you know, for this fall coming up, going to some SEC games, it's going to be absolutely a great time. You know, me and Deuce talked about earlier that tailgating today is a lot more glamorized than, you know, 20 years ago even. I know tailgating's always been around, but, you know, everybody brings out the big guns nowadays, Johnsonville especially with their Big Taste grill attached to a truck. You know, hydraulics has to lift the grill up to open it up, and, you know, it's going to be a sight going around the SEC and cooking some Johnsonville products.
I got you. Now, Deuce, if you're cooking your favorite Johnsonville product, what is it?
I'm a jalapeno guy, and so okay. I love, you know, the jalapeno brats. I love, you know, the beer brats as well. And so, you know, if I'm at the house, and I'm going to probably simmer mine a little bit and put them, you know, be able to let them simmer a little bit, and then and some water or beer, and you know, you've got some of your flavors, some onions, some different things in there, and then we put them on the grill. But if we don't have that available, and I'm just tailgating purely, I just want to get them lightly brown, just enough where they look really good, and give me a little mustard.
Oh, I'm a mustard guy too, absolutely. Well, listen, I could talk food for I literally cover food and football. Absolutely. I do 4 hours every day in Tuscaloosa.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it, but I got to ask you at least about Nick Saban. So I want to talk a little, you know, a little running back here with you for just a couple of minutes. Big question in Tuscaloosa is, can Brian Robinson be that guy? Alabama's had a bell cow running back for as long as I can remember under Nick Saban. Is Brian Robinson, you know, a fifth-year guy coming in for another year in Tuscaloosa, can he be that guy?
I don't think that he has to be that guy. I mean, because you have so much other talent around. There are some young guys there in that position. You know, I think Brian is talented enough to be the guy, you know, and he's obviously waited his time to be able to be in that situation. But, you know, I don't know if you have to kind of lean on him like you have other guys in the past. I mean, and you look at some of the success some of those guys are having in the NFL, I think Najee will have that same impact as well. But I don't think that Brian has to be that type of player. There's enough talent around where they can depend on some of those younger guys to be able to step in and step up. And you look at the offensive line, it starts up there. They should be very, very good there as well. You know, the question obviously becomes at the quarterback position. You know, can they have consistency? You don't have to be, you know, what Mac was last year. Just be consistent at that position. And I think, you know, with Coach Saban, his ability to adapt, you know, because you go back 5 to 7 years ago, he was completely against the kind of the spread offense and where the game of college football was headed. He was able to adapt. And it's almost like they haven't missed a beat, you know, just because it's an abundance amount of talent there.
We're talking with Deuce McAllister, John Cooper, a professional tailgater. We're talking a little Alabama Crimson Tide football. I want to ask you from an athlete perspective, when you look at Nick Saban, what makes him successful from someone that looks inside from your optics that you're able to visualize?
Well, I think one of the biggest thing he can point to is the track record, you know, and having that success for a long, long period of time. But I think also from a development standpoint and being able to really be able to say, I have a vision for this player. You know, I envision this player being able to come in and do this, you know, and I have a vision for you. Hey, look, you may not be a starter from day one, but if you work in our program, if you work in our system, and if you can do this, then this is the vision that I envision for you. You know, I can help you be able to be a better athlete. And if you are a better athlete, a better football player, then some of the goals that you have personally, you can achieve those as well.
You know, Deuce, I look back at your days at Ole Miss, you know, when you talk about branding, when you talk about just your overall image, the way that you carry yourself, I think about name, image, and likeness and where this is going now. As a former athlete, I kind of want to get your take on name, image, and likeness as we introduce that into college athletics.
I feel like I would have done pretty well.
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. He would have been raking in the cash. And I'm going to hit you with a breaking story that just broke about an hour ago. But first off, let's go with name, image, and likeness on that.
Yeah. You know, from an NCAA standpoint, it was something that they probably should have done about 5 to 10 years ago, just because this isn't new. This is something that you saw coming years ago, and the NCAA has been slow to react, and now you have states kind of, you know, putting some legislation in place and other states following it from that standpoint. And so for the SEC, they're just allowing those states to kind of police it, and I think at some point you will have some national rules, because each state has different rules as far as NIL are concerned. But, you know, it's something that obviously I am for, you know, just because I thought that as the game has grown, you know, the players were the one that was probably at that same level as the game continued to grow. And, you know, you talk about how the SEC obviously has grown from an overall standpoint to be able to allow those players, whether it's the starting quarterback or the number four defensive tackle, to be at least to be able to see, hey, can I profit off of my name and likeness? Then so be it.
All right, so I'm going to hit you with a breaking story. Nick Saban broke it about 45 minutes ago in a Texas high school convention. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want your gut reaction. First thing that pops in your mind, I got to give credit back to 247 Sports. They broke the story. I don't like to plagiarize, so giving credit back to them. Nick Saban speaking at a Texas high school banquet a couple of minutes ago with all these high school coaches, just announced that Bryce Young is now approaching $1 million in endorsements for his quarterback that's never been a starting quarterback. Yeah, he's the guy that is going to be the starting quarterback, but your reaction?
He's with CAA. I mean, and so he was with a national marketing brand, and I'm not surprised by that one bit. I mean, the thing with Bryce was it's the potential, and so that will be probably the norm at some point, just with the elite guys, just because you have to look at it from the national standpoint. And so from a branding standpoint, that's what, you know, that's what companies are looking for. And so I would be interested to see, is that over a four-year deal? Is that over a one-year deal? You know, and so the devil will be in the details. And then what is the commitment? You know, is it just posting? Is it, you know, apparel, doing some different things of that nature? But I'm not one bit surprised.
All right, I'm going to get you out of here in just a couple of minutes. Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, your expectations, because it's Ole Miss Day here with several of the coaches, but Lane Kiffin grabbing a lot of attention here in SEC Media Days.
Well, Lane has been Lane. I mean, and that's been able to go out there and recruit, obviously, a high level, but obviously you have to be able to win on the field, and I think that will come. You know, I think from an expectation standpoint, the level at Ole Miss has been raised, and, you know, you go and you see what they were able to do from an offensive standpoint. You know, that's be one of the better offenses, not only in the SEC, but in the country. But, you know, at the end of the day, the question is, can you stop guys? And that's where they have to improve from a defensive standpoint. But, you know, you're definitely pleased with at least the trajectory of where that Ole Miss team is going.
Who talks more, Mike Dettillier or Bobby Hebert?
Oh, both, you know, but Bobby won't shut up, you know, but Mike at least knows when to cut it off and hush.
They both sent me a message earlier and said, find Deuce McAllister. I said, I got an interview at noon. They're friends of ours. We like to have them on.
Great guys, both know a ton of football and really, really good guys. And so we tell Bobby, you got to hush at some point. Still hadn't worked yet.
All right. 30 seconds. John, your expectations of Alabama. John Cooper, professional tailgater with Johnsonville Products. Your expectations of Alabama in 2021?
Well, you talked about the running back situation earlier. And, well, to me, I'm an offensive line guy, so I like talking about the offensive linemen. So you got guys like Evan Neal that's just going to be an absolute first-round pick, and you got the other four guys that are going to have pro careers if they want that way. You know, just a culture that's been there since 2007 that started. I see us running the table, you know, in the regular season and then getting another chance.
Deuce, what do you see Alabama real quick? I'm going to get you back on track.
Very good. I mean, that's very good. They'll be able to compete for a championship.
Deuce McAllister, John Cooper, Johnsonville Products. We'll continue with more of the game next here on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Do you remember?
It's awesome. You're having a fun. Have some fun, man.
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, This is Ryan Fowler here at SEC Media Days talking to Brian Jones, CBS Sports, SEC on CBS. Man, it feels good just to be talking football once again at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. And while the fans aren't allowed in the hotel, just to be around the players and the coaches, the media, gives some semblance of, okay, we're getting close to where we were pre-pandemic.
Well, I want to just kind of pick your brain about a lot of different things, but being a former player, playing the linebacker spot, we're an old defensive team down in Tuscaloosa. You go back to 61, we had six shutouts, 25 total points. You go all the way through the 60s, all the way through the 70s. 92 was a great defense for Alabama. John Copeland, Eric Curry. Yeah. You get to 2009, 2011. We've been built on defense. Nick Saban has changed that and kind of went offensively. But I want to ask you about the game. You think it'll ever come back to the defensive side of the football?
Well, it's interesting in this day and age, and he had to adapt, and I think they have adapted offensively to the changing times in the RPOs and all that stuff. And he's got so much talent over there. Why not? And I give a lot of credit to Lane Kiffin. When he came on that staff, everybody said, well, this is not going to work. Well, it did work. And they're continuing that tradition, even under the other offensive coordinators. Of course, Steve Sarkisian, the latest one, comes from that same background as Kiffin, who's now at my alma mater, Texas. But defensively, they only change on that side is that they've had to get a little bit smaller in areas. Linebacker, you don't have the big hulking middle linebackers like we had during my day and like he's had, you know, when he took over the program. So he's had to evolve there, more athletes at every position. So I think you still have an opportunity to see some dominating defenses. But my main key is bend, don't break. You're going to give up some yardage in these offenses these days. But bend, don't break. Hold on to field goals as much as you can. The key stat is also turnovers. You know, you got to get the rock out of the hands of these opposing offenses. So, you know, you look at all the guys they have coming back this year, especially the linebacker position, man. I think Alabama's going to be as strong as anyone in that position. Secondary, they're always damn good. Had some new faces last year early on and got eaten up. But, you know, after that Georgia, that second half on, that looked like the dominating Alabama defense we've been used to.
Henry Toa Toa transfers in.
Yes, from Tennessee, yeah. He's one of my favorite guys. I highlighted him last year, especially when Tennessee was playing well. That didn't last too long after the second half of their Georgia game. But, yeah, number 10, man, he's a tackling machine like he was for Tennessee. Now you pencil him in on this defense. He's the type of linebacker you need in today's game.
But playing under Jeremy Pruitt, how much easier will it be? Because it's – different terminology, but it'll be very similar to what Coach Saban.
It's Alabama light, but it's the same defense. And Coach Pruitt probably called it the same thing there. Coming from Alabama, you know, defensive coordinator, and then going to Tennessee, I think it's going to be seamless. It should be seamless and fluid for Henry Toa to be plugged into that defense because he's seen all this before. He just saw it from a different coach or heard it from a different coach.
We're talking about linebackers. Let me ask you about Will Anderson. We get excited about when we talk about Will Anderson.
How do you not get excited about that? Oh, my goodness. Just watching
him. And he's a true freshman.
I know. I was watching him last. I was like, there's another one. And look, you know how much muscle they're going to pack onto that body and how much bigger he's going to be? Oh, he's another freak. That's what he is. And he's going to be developed. He's going to be coached well. And we're already seeing that. So, as I was saying a moment ago, I look at this defense and the young pieces that they had coached up last year in that secondary that have grown. And then someone like a Will Anderson, the veterans on that defense, they're going to be just as good, if not better.
Let's switch to the other side of the football just for a minute. I want to ask you about Bryce Young, highly thought of prospect coming out of high school, modern day high school, Bruce Robinson, who's won all those championships out in modern day high school. When you look at Bryce coming in, waiting his turn, not being thrown in, let Mac Jones have that last year. When you look at Bryce Young, what do you see?
Well, first of all, I thought, and I may have been the only person that said this heading into last season, Mac Jones was going to be the quarterback. He wasn't giving that up because he played well in the three or four iterations we saw the season prior. And so I knew he would win the job. Bryce Young has a ton of talent, but I think he probably learned a lot from Mac Jones, who had just an exquisite season. All the tools may not be as tall as you like, but neither was Mac Jones. And we've seen that before in these quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa wasn't that tall. But, yeah, he's got everything you want. And now he gets the keys to this offense. You know he's going to be surrounded by a lot of talent, even though they lost all those draft picks. And he's been practicing with these guys, limited playing time a season ago. I want some money from him. Because he getting all these damn deals, and he hadn't started one game. That's what I want. Can I borrow $5, Bryce?
can we get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, yeah. Bryce? I mean, we're praising you here, talking about Alabama, and we just want something. We want a little name, image, and likeness.
Something, man.
Did you see that earlier today?
I just saw a headline where he said it's bordering upwards of $1 million. Like, wow, and the kid hadn't even started. So,
well, yeah. I got to give credit. Your affiliate was CBS Sports, 247 Sports, which is the affiliation mm-hmm. with you guys. They broke the story that Nick Saban was at a Texas convention there, and he said that he was approaching $1 million. Yeah. He's never taken a snap as a starting quarterback at Alabama.
Right. It's amazing, and that's the Wild Wild West landscape we're in now, which will eventually calm. And everything will shake out, and so all the hyperbolic commentary out there about this new landscape we're embarking on, just chill out. The free market will work this thing out, trust me. But, you know, as far as the talent, the kid, there's a reason he's number one recruit. There's a reason why, you know, he's so successful in high school, and he'll be successful at Alabama. But we have to wait and see.
It's just a lot of fun. What do you see, because the way that you cover Alabama, what is it that they do different that allows them to have success?
Well, it's the Jimmys and the Joes. You can have all the X's and O's that you want, and you can possess this vast football IQ, but if you don't have the players that you can implement in your system and develop, that's the key once you get them on campus. And they do a great job of that. They do a great job of coaching these guys up. And I tell you what else stands out when you look at the marquee programs. It's not really that coaching staff. It's the players in that locker room, because they hold each other accountable. And just having talked to Alabama players over, you know, the Nick Saban era, they all say it to a man, we don't want to let the guys that came before us down. That's their standard they've set there at Alabama now. So holding each other accountable, holding yourself accountable, putting the work in, and the fact that the staff, they coach them well and they develop those football players. So you can get a bunch of 5 stars in there, but if you don't do a damn thing in, as far as developing them, it's all for naught.
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry told me one time that Mark Ingram came to him and said, you better not be the one that stops this dynasty. Yeah. He said, and he did. He went 395 carries in 2015, won a championship. I accomplished my goal.
That's it, man. I just remember, you know, being in college and older guys coming back and saying, and in certain terms, you know, they got your attention. Let's just say that. That's the way it should be, because when you build something and you've got that foundation, you want those guys that come after you to keep the train moving, and that's definitely happening there in Tuscaloosa.
SEC West, who's the biggest threat to Alabama?
I think it's going to be Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher is built.
That's coming from a Texas guy.
Hey, I keep it real. My Longhorns ain't where they should be right now. I'm going to keep it real. And Oklahoma is our daddy. So there you have it. So until they start winning consistently against their rival, they are what they are. But A&M, man, we'll see what happens with the quarterback position. Of course, you know, losing their guy there. But the running game, running backs are damn good. They've got speed all over the field. They are going to take a hiccup on the offensive line. They got to retool that. A lot of pieces missing there. Defensively, this Leal kid, oh, he's a beast. He's going to be a first rounder if he continues to stay healthy and produce like he has thus far. And he's just a sophomore. So, I like this. They got a big, tall secondary. I think everyone's at least 6'1", 6'2", in their secondary. And they've been getting thumped by Alabama. So, you know, you learn, as Clemson has and all these other teams, you learn how to play against the champs, and annually it's been Alabama when Clemson hasn't taken the crown. And so I think Jimbo, having coached all those years with Saban, having won a national title himself at Florida State, he knows how to put a football team together, and he's done that. He's recruited extremely well. So I think they're going to be – that game, I think it was, what, third or fourth game of the year? That's going to be a huge one. And I think they'll be a threat in the West – We'll see what LSU does this year. They got a new defensive coordinator, still a lot of talent on that football team. And of course, Ole Miss, from an offensive standpoint, they're always difficult. Defensively, couldn't stop a nosebleed with a bag of ice, but they can put some points on the board. But I think it's going to be Texas A&M would be the number one challenger for Alabama.
That's just a lot of fun. And Jimbo Fisher this offseason said he's going to kick Nick Saban's blank.
And what Coach Saban said, was that in basketball or
something? Yeah, he said in golf.
Yeah.
I love that. But, see, that's college football, my friend.
And they're boys. You know, they're buddies. And people may try to make more out of that than it is.
I mean, we milked it for a couple of days, yeah, but we had fun with it.
Good fighter. And Jimbo, you know, has a ton of respect for Saban, and it flows both ways. So, yeah, that's fun. And, you know, we'll see if they can do that. They shocked Florida last year there in College Station, and we'll see what happens in this year's game. But I think that's the number one. That's the one I would circle as far as the West challenging Bama. But it won't be easy, for sure.
All right, I want to ask you about your alma mater, and I'll let you get out of here. Texas hires Sark. And, you know, I'm going to – can I judge it from an outsider?
Sure.
Just a minute.
I'm an outsider, too.
But looking at Nick Saban, when he stepped in, I always look at what he did off the field of, hey, listen, I'm a chief. We don't have any boosters mingling with the program. He had to come in and really put a lot of people in their spot.
Yeah.
I look at Texas, and rightfully so. You guys have got more money than, you know, Wells Fargo. I mean,
do they have any left? Because they're tripping, Wells Fargo. I know they've been
– Well, they send me a bill every month.
They've been shutting down people's accounts, but go ahead.
But you look at Texas, Sark's got to go in and get control of that. And then I think he'll build something special. I watched Sark build things in Tuscaloosa, you know, the first time he's there, second time he's there, being a part of the system. That's just what I see from an outsider, that he's got to take – strangle hold of that, very similar to Alabama 2007. Because if you ever wake up that Texas giant and you get the recruits,
oh, yeah.
Can Sark do it?
Yeah, I think he can. And matter of fact, I was ecstatic when he took the job. And I was leaning for someone such as Sarkisian as opposed to others who were mentioned for the job. Someone who is a bright football mind and someone who's relatively young could come sit a spell. And the fact that things he's gone through, I think he can leverage that in that locker room, the personal journey he's been on. And he's got a championship pedigree. You know, I'll say Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, you would think some of that gravy from those guys would spill over to his plate, right? But you're right. It's a lot of pressure. There are a lot of people. I'm just going to say there's a lot of arrogant mofos at my alma mater that like to, you know, put their two cents in. How about you shut the hell up, let the man do his job, coach the football team, develop the players, which I think he'll do, and sit back and enjoy it. You know, everyone wants to be that chief. Well, you're not, and it's not your job to be. And I understand you wanted to come by and, you know, shake hands and kiss babies. Well, let him build this damn thing first, and then we can do that. So that's my personal hope. But, yeah, there's a lot of arrogance around our program, and they just need to chill out. And I think he can do it. There's some talent there. It just hadn't been developed. They need discipline. You look at Texas, they have been one of the most penalized teams in college football, at least in the conference, you know, the last few years. They need discipline. They need accountability. I was in attendance for the spring game, and I made it a chore to talk to different people around the program, from the higher-ups to – you know, a man who takes care of the field. And everyone, from a man to a woman, said the same thing. There's more of a sense of urgency, and there's more accountability. And that's exactly what they need. I don't care about all the bells and whistles. Do what you're supposed to do. Do it when you're supposed to do it. And quit making mistakes and shooting yourself in the foot. If you do that, you're going to be just fine. And bring a sense of toughness back to that program. That's exactly what they need, a sense of toughness. And I think he can do it. I'm hoping he can do it with his background and everything that he's had to endure. And still, you know, it's well reported what he's dealing with. And that's a lifelong journey. Anyone that's had to the task of trying to deal with that in their life. So, yeah, I think he's the right guy, man. But, yeah, it's pressure. No doubt. It's It's a pressure-laden job, but I just would hope my fellow alumnus would just chill the hell out, let the man do his gig.
Well, and it's so ironic when Nick Saban, I mean, that was Alabama. What he did off the field is just about as impressive as what he did on the field. He put the boosters, said, hey, we want you to have a role, and he invited them to be a part of the program, but he didn't want to be a country club coach.
Exactly. And you're there to coach. And all the ancillary responsibilities, okay, we'll take care of that, but we're going to take care of that in moderation, okay? And I can't be all things to all people, and I can't be omnipresent. So number one job here, the reason you hired me, is to bring this football program back to prominence, right? I can't do that if you want me flying over here, flying over there, flying over there. We'll get to that. But no, main focus right now, elevating the play of my football players.
Let me just end it with this. As I'm watching on the outside, you on a television set, there's one thing that comes across. You have fun talking college football.
I like to have fun no matter what the hell we talk about, okay? And I'm as big a fan as anyone, and especially with the guys I get to work with. We make our picks and all that stuff, and it's serious to us. But, ultimately, it's fun. It's a sport. I've lived it. I've played it. And I leave it at that. But, yeah, no matter what you're doing, you got to have fun. I mean, what you're doing now, we got to have fun doing it. If you're not having fun, it's a damn job, right?
And we have the best job in the country, talking college football and getting paid for it.
Thank you.
Brian Jones, BJ, on CBS Sports, on SEC side of things, CBS covering the SEC. Brian, thank you for your time. It's always been an honor to talk with you, and thank you for your opportunity.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, my man.
Hey, we'll continue with more of the game next. Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Play.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Maintain the chance of a few passing showers or thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 70. Tomorrow and Thursday, mostly cloudy. A few showers and thunderstorms are likely both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The host of the game, Ryan Fowler, and the host of the Martin Houston Show, Martin Houston, have combined to offer a show filled with in-depth analysis of Alabama football and more. Alabama Tradition broadcasts live on Tide 100.9 every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. and is available live and on playback on numerous affiliates around the Southeast. Check out alabamatradition.com for a list of affiliates, as well as other great content.
On a vacation far away, come around and talk it over. So many things that I wanna say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just wanna use your love.
Hey, this is Ryan Fowler back at SEC Media Days. We're talking with Chris Doering, SEC ESPN College Football Analyst. Hey, Chris, it's always exciting for SEC Media Days, but it just feels like a different energy after the absence of last year.
Yeah, I think we all have a much greater appreciation for normal life, and this is part of normal life here in the South, getting to Alabama, gathering together, kicking off the talking season, and getting ready for what's going to be an exciting season, as it is every year. But I think we just being face-to-face with everybody and being able to shake hands and hug again, it feels really good.
You know, doing a show in Tuscaloosa, we're always kind of curious to get athletes' perspective on Coach Saban. What makes him successful from your perspective?
You know, I love everything that Coach Saban's about. You know, I read Andy Staples' article probably 10 years or more ago in Sports Illustrated about the Sabanization of college football. I love the process. I love the attention to detail. I love focusing on the present. Like, all of those things are things that align with me and what I've learned over the years. And I go back and, you know, Jacob Hester is a good friend of mine and a guy that I've done a lot of media work with the last couple of years. And I talked to him about, you know, the recruiting process when Coach Saban was recruiting him and getting to know him once he got to LSU. Like, he would have been a guy that I would have loved to play for, because I think, you know, it, much like Coach Spurrier, in a very different way, you know, what he cares about is guys playing the way they're coached and given maximal effort in terms of training and being ready to go when they hit the field. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for him and what they've been able to create in Tuscaloosa. And how about the you know, you lose so much on offense. You lose so much on the coaching staff over the years, and it doesn't hurt them at all. They don't miss a beat. And who's expected to win the SEC West? Who's expected to win the SEC this year? Who's expected to go to the college football playoffs? Alabama. It just speaks to how well he's been able to overcome all the adversity of turnover all these years in Tuscaloosa.
We have three starters coming back on offense, and it's like automatically I'm asking the audience and like, what's your expectations? Well, we expect to have 47.2 points per game. It's like, guys, hold on a minute. I'm gonna repeat myself. You lost your starting quarterback. Yeah. You lost your starting running back. Three out of the five offensive linemen. You could actually go four out of the five offensive linemen. The wide receivers, it's like, how do you immediately replace that? I guess that's where we're at in college football.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of rationality in the SEC in general, and certainly Alabama fans have been spoiled by what Coach Saban's been able to do there. But it really is amazing the culture that he's created and how people come in and adjust to that culture. Even, you know, in talking about the offense, you know, people don't come in and reinstall a whole new offense. They take the offense that's there. They learn the offense themselves rather than asking all the players to learn the offense. They put their own little wrinkles and fingerprints on it. And I love thinking back just to Lane Kiffin, to Brian Daboll, to Loxley, to Steve Sarkisian, and how it's evolved and taken that next step forward. I'm curious to see how Bill O'Brien can kind of make it his own this year as we head into the season.
I'm curious, when you look at John Metchie being a receiver, can he be that continuation of that position and that productivity?
There's no doubt. I mean, I go back to, you know, 10 years ago or more, it seems like they have one guy that goes out and puts up big numbers, and the next guy kind of learns, and then he steps up into the number one position, and it's been a great tradition that, you know, who would have thought we'd be talking about some of the best receivers in the NFL coming from Alabama, you know, if we talked about 20 years ago. I think it's, again, speaks to the forethought and just how good a coach Saban is to be able to evolve, stay ahead of what everybody else is doing, embracing some tempo things, embracing some RPO things, and finding a way to do it better than everybody else. So I think John Metchie is going to have a tremendous season this year. I'd put him in the top three in terms of receivers with Kayshawn Boutte from LSU and Treylon Burks from Arkansas. I think those are your top three receivers heading in the year.
Name, image, and likeness. When you look at it, and we'll get to the Nick Saban story that broke earlier today, but I'd like to kind of get your thoughts as a former athlete, name, image, and likeness of where this is going in college athletics.
Well, it's tough for me to separate where I am as an adult now from where I would have been when I was an 18 to 22-year-old kid. Sure, I would have liked to have made some money, and I imagine, you know, at Florida at that time, with the popularity of our team and my success, that I would have done pretty well as a junior and a senior with the same name, image, and likeness opportunities. At the same time, you know, I feel blessed to have gotten a scholarship, you know, before my sophomore year to complete my degree in telecommunications at the College of Journalism at the University of Florida. It's afforded me an opportunity to do what I do here with you guys on SEC Network, on Sirius XM. The notoriety that I gained has helped my mortgage company in Gainesville. Like, so much to be grateful for, that there is value in the cost of a scholarship. And at the same time, you know, the allure of making a little money on the side with some name, image, and likeness thing is certainly something that would have been appealing. But I worry about the distraction factor, especially kids that don't have the maturity maybe to turn it off and on. How do they focus on studies? How do they focus on practice? How do they focus on playing the best they can when they're worried about securing another deal or fulfilling a deal that they've agreed to? I mean, I just think it's going to be another challenge for a lot of these college coaches that are already facing a lot with immediate transfer and roster management in general, and just these kids as they are growing up in the social media age. It's a challenge for sure.
Well, and I'd like to credit 247 Sports. Coach Saban was out at a Texas convention, a high school convention, and speaking to that group, he made the comment that Bryce Young, a quarterback that has never taken a snap as a starting quarterback, is now approaching $1 million in deals. I'm sure that'll be a big topic as Alabama arrives here tomorrow, but just your reaction to the possibility. We'll learn more details, but on the report, reacting to that story.
Man, what do you think Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa are thinking, right? I mean, wow, well, a little too late. Could have cashed in big time. But a lot of that credit goes to those guys, and a lot of the credit, as we continue to say, goes back to Coach Saban. The expectation is that Bryce Young He's going to step in. He's going to put up big numbers. He's going to lead him to a national championship, and he's going to have the visibility that businesses want to attach themselves to. So, you know, I think it also adds another level of pressure in making sure you're doing the right things. You know, how many times do we see pro athletes get in trouble off the field, and now they get their sponsorships and advertising opportunities pulled? It's something that I think these college kids are going to have to be aware of. You get caught on somebody's social media doing something you're not supposed to do, and you can lose that money about as quickly as you gained it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing continues to evolve. But being the quarterback at Alabama doesn't suck.
Chris Doering, ESPN, SEC Network, SiriusXM analyst. We thank you for your time here in Tuscaloosa.
No, great being with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Great to see you,
man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's always fun to be able to talk with the best fans in the country. We did that all day today, from the game to Alabama tradition. You had Deuce McAllister, Chris Doering, SEC college football analyst. It was always fun to, you know, talk a little Alabama football with these guys. It just, listen, anytime we can get together and talk. Ben Jones knocked it out of the park from CBS. So we had a couple of guys there with Deuce McAllister, Chris Doering, and then Ben Jones, CBS. All of that heard right here on Alabama Tradition. Big thanks to Jacob. Big thanks to Kendall. All those guys back there. And you guys are incredible. We've done 5 hours here. It's all presented by Adams Heating and Cooling. Adams Heating and Cooling. We'll talk more Alabama Crimson Tide football tomorrow, 2 o'clock, right here on The Game on Tide 100.9. Nick Saban Day, all types of coverage. Remember, Tide109.com. Martin Houston wakes you up tomorrow morning. Wimp and Barry inside the locker room, 7 until 9. The Gary Harris Show, 9 until 11. Jacob Harrison off the edge from 11 until noon. Jay Barker, Lars Anderson, and crew from 12 until 2. I'll see you right back here at 2 o'clock tomorrow on The Game. We'll see you then right here on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.